arts@citr.ca. It's I check my email almost every day, so give me a call. That'll be great. And until next week, stay pretty, don't die young, and enjoy all the beautiful music that is going on this afternoon and this weekend. And dance up a storm tonight. It's International Dance Day. Have a good one. Leaving you here with a PSA on CITR 101.9 FM.
On May 12, 2009, BC is faced with a provincial election. Students should vote. When we speak up, they will listen.
Vote for candidates who support a reduced tuition to increase access to better education, better transit, and adequate funding to universities.
On May 12, vote in the BC elections.
This is a message brought to you by the AMS External Office, authorized by the AMS, registered sponsor under the Elections Act, 604-822-2050.
Are you a good witch or a bad witch?
On Wednesday, May 6th, join us for a night of great local music. CITR 101.9 and Discorder are bringing you a new monthly at the Astoria. Come down on the first Wednesday of every month. Our first night will feature new Sensei, Petroleum Byproducts, and GR8 2000. Doors are at 8 p.m., bands play at 9. That's at the redesigned, re-soundproofed, rehabilitated Astoria Hotel, 769 East Hastings, brought to you by Discorder and CITR 101.9 FM.
Rifts from Riffs by Dennis Lee. I wanted you to be my jazz music. I wanted you in Hey Hupalula Love. I wanted Plonk and Longing all to come home in the bush of your pubic hair. The sweet and silly ride of loving like two wolves in the gooseberries. I wanted you to be my apple juice, my Oreo cookie, the belly button of our smiles. But you didn't want to play. So soon attuned to ecstasy. For a poet, it's the 100-yard dash to love. Oh God, or heartbreak. And now I am the flakes off your skin that get success on a good day when they manage to stick to your sweater. Good evening. It's just after 6 o'clock and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. My name is Julie Peters and this is Audio Text, your Canadian writing show, your spoken word, short story, page poetry, Canadian hub. So that poem that I read at the beginning of the show was the very last of my own poems that I'm going to be reading for this month. For the month of April, Poetry Month, I've just been sharing some of the poetry I've been writing for the Poem a Day Challenge, which has been going on, I guess, around the world. Anyone takes part in it. But Robert Brewer has a blog called Poetic Asides, and he's been posting a prompt every day that you're encouraged to write a poem about. So that's the last one, I promise. No more poetry from me. And just a quick note about that. The prompt that day was write after the style of any poem that you want. And Riffs is actually a long poem by Dennis Lee, who is my absolute favorite Canadian writer. He writes adult poetry as well as youth poetry, including Alligator Pie and Garbage Delight, which if you were born in the 80s or 70s, you might remember your parents reading to you at bedtime. So before we get to the content of the show, I have some listings for you, things going on in the world. There's a lot happening over the next week or so, and there's always more to be found than I can ever list here. Today is April 29th, tonight at the Britannia Library, which is 1661 Napier Street, Larry Loye, who is an award-winning Cree author of the book Goodbye Buffalo Boy, is going to be reading, so you can go and meet him there. also tonight, April 29th, at Café de Soleil, which is Commercial and Fifth, the Lyre launch is happening. It's Capilano University's The Lyre Collective launching their spring issue. So there's going to be readings by various lyres, as well as musical performances by Steppen Razor and Woolworm. April 30th, Thursday, at the Alma Van Dusen Room at the Vancouver Public Library, 350 West Georgia Street, at 7:30 p.m., Gail Anderson Dargatz, who is the author of The Cure for Death by Lightning, incidentally my mom's least favorite Canadian writer, she's going to be reading from her new book, Turtle Valley. She's very popular. It's not, I mean, it's, you know, my mom's entitled to her opinion. I feel the same way, actually, but lots of people like her, too, and if you've read her books before, you might want to go check her out. No offense to Gail Anderson Dargatz. Also, April 30th, this is kind of happening in cyberspace, I guess, or radio space, from noon to midnight. If you listen to CBC Radio, you'll hear the poetry face-offs. Chris Gilpin, who's a friend of mine, poet around the city, he won the People's Choice for the CBC Poetry Face-Off here in Vancouver, and he needs to be voted to be crowned the most popular national poet. So, the website for that is cbc.ca/poetryfaceoff, so you can go and listen to his poem and learn a little bit about that too. And I'm going to actually play his poem in a little bit. It's about dodo birds, which is pretty sweet. One more thing for April 30th, a lot happening tomorrow, Thursday, at the Cottage Bistro, which is 4468 Main Street. It's 80s night, so there's going to be 80s music, including accordion by Rowan Lipkowitz. There's going to be poetry by R.C. Wislowski and Shannon Rain, and some 80s tunes by a live band, as well as prizes for the best 80s outfit. So that should be a pretty fun event as well. Happening April 1st, Friday, at 32 Books, which is 3185 Edgemont Boulevard in North Vancouver, Dale Zeroth is going to be launching his new book, The Fly in Autumn, at 7:30 p.m. Derek Brown is a poet who is visiting Vancouver for now. He's going to be at the Vancouver Poetry Slam on Monday at Café de Soleil, which happens every week. And he's also going to be at Café de Soleil the night before, Sunday, April 3rd. And that show, he'll be accompanied by Brendan McLeod, Julian Bentley, and Mark Walters. So that's just a few of the things that are going on around the city. There's always more to check out if you're willing to spend a few minutes Googling. But on with the show. Today I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the youth poets that I saw this past Monday at Café de Soleil. It was the Youth Poetry Slam Finals. And these guys really, really blew me away. I was amazed at their sort of talent and their self-awareness. And you know, some of them are only 16. And I was sitting in this in Café de Soleil. I found myself scrawling poetry frantically underneath the table after my third glass of wine because I was so inspired. So I thought that some of my recordings from that night should definitely be shared. You know, some of these poets today, they're not only emerging onto the scene, but into adulthood, into themselves in these really amazing ways. It's really incredible to watch. So first up of those, Adric Brock.
I'm the young whippersnap, he's the old vet. A cigarette perfumes his whiskey breath as he stutters like a flooded chainsaw through a theory on life that limits our lives and our relationships to a nothing really matters in the end. This man full of timbered promise wears wisdom like a discount sticker on rotting fruit, so I offer no purchase. His what's the point is a smear of whiteout across my plea for something encouraging, and it dries, hardens around my questions like a blizzard around a beer. And as you can imagine, it's itchy. Because I want to tell this man, here's a bucket, take it. This is what I do with it. Around a string and it hangs to collect the drool that falls and pools with the viscosity of my wonder. You talk about life and how it panned out the way you didn't expect, as if this was a bad thing, as if you expected to shit out a Bible at the age of 80 and fill the toilet with answers. But me, I guess I prefer the mystery of movement. So I give this man a birthday cake and I say, make a wish. Today, you and I are 1 year old. So I give this man a birthday candle. I say, make a wish. You and I are a day old today and we're finger painters. We are an armful of muscle in a rowboat that will sink with the weight of the sunset. There's so much ocean to caress, so let's row, man, row, because all we we got is this windblown alphabet filling the space between two closed parentheses like an unedited run-on sentence. So let's run like we were two butterfly hunters with holes in our nets. Let's grab at passing exclamation marks like they were the shifting rainbows in a pool full of gasoline. You can pull a comma horizontal into a hammock to pause for a moment of reflection while I play hopscotch over the ellipsis of you telling me to quit. I won't, because I like the way naive fits into a back pocket. And when I wear my young sunglasses, the cherry trees explode into fountains of pink popcorn and people transform into question marks. Curled up curiosities I need only to prompt with an invitation to blossom, so I give this man a paper cut. I say, if the headline of your story is so what, then shred it. Make a paper mache pinata, fill it with children's stories and haikus, so when we smash it to confetti, the birthday party carpet gets flooded with imagination and freed verse. There is a hot rifle cradled in the nook of my spine. It's called inevitable death, and it's there like a spur, like a backlash against living. Well, crack brings me back because I'm drifting. And this is the only conversation I've ever had. And again, and we were all crash test gummies experiencing the collision of space and time, and this whiplash is what we call being, so I'm being aware. This is the first breath. This is the first footstep. First breakfast. First kiss. First bus ride home. This is the first best sex ever. This is the first letter in a sentence we will never cap with the tidy, conclusory evidence of period, because periods are this finite bullet hole blown through the soul of something to kill it into completion. This man is looking for a closed casket on truth, as if the meaning of life was something you could taxidermy and pin to the wall of your inner eye. So I give him a shotgun and an extension cord. I say, here's what I do with mine. I fire the hitmen trying to end my sentences. I strangle the tentative truths that make me feel secure, and I fall like a freed hangman into a pile of paper cuts. I carry this kid in me like a chalk stick. I roam the sidewalk avenues, carving my wonder into its pavement. I play hopscotch with doubt, and I skip to the rhythms of my curiosity. Because this man is me at the age of 60, and I visit him now, so I won't have to later.
That was Adric Brock. Coming up next, I'm going to play a piece by Johnny McRae, who is another young poet who recently won a spot in the Vancouver Poetry Slam team. So if you keep your ears open, I'm sure you'll hear more of him in the future. This is Johnny McRae.
Call me.
So I'm going to run the risk of a time penalty on this, but I feel I have to share this story. I wrote this poem for a very special woman who approached me while I was waiting for my first love, the 98 V-line. She said, I like your pen. At the time, it was V-Day, Vagina Day, which is really a week, and they'd been selling pins on campus that said, I heart my vagina, and seeing as I do, I thought I would put one on my backpack. So I turned to her and I said, well, I'd just like to think that my genitals are an inverted version of a woman's. To which she said, well, I don't think you need to go that far. And I said, well, you know, I just like to think it brings us all closer together, which apparently it doesn't, because she walked to the very back of the line. So I have to say that because I hope one day she's going to be in an audience somewhere where I read this poem, and if she is, I want her to come up to me and we can be friends and ride the bus. You see, I love my vagina. Even though others often laugh at it because I've only half the normal nerve endings inside my clit, even though my ovaries hang slack, swinging around in my uteral sac, I love my vagina. With its little lips puckered up, its precision aim and sense of direction, affection. It's love of being buttered up. It's love of play, of making connections. Yes, I love my vagina, and my vagina loves me. It knows what I want, and I know what it needs, as with its head raised, with a friendly wink, with an eye to appraise, and its hot, swollen pink, with its puckered lips kissing, dizzy from the blood rush, my clit, my cunt, other cunts would touch. Perhaps just a handshake, or a few friendly words, or a long night spent sleepless while love is a verb, till we cease to commune with a smile or a swoon, our vagina lips smiling, having danced for the moon.
I'm Peter Mansbridge, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Soothing, subtle, and strange. Relaxing, reposeful, and a bit rogue. Get ready for Barnyard Records recording artists on tour from Toronto. The unlikely trio of Jean Martin on Suitcase, Justin Haynes on ukulele, and Ryan Driver on the Street Sweeper Bristle Bass, playing the lyric and melodic music of composer Mike Friedman. Friday, May 8th at 8 p.m. at the Western Front, 303 East 8th Avenue.
That was Johnny McRae before the break. Next, I'm going to play Francis Arevalo. I'm not sure what the name of this piece is, but with this piece and a couple of others, Francis walked away with the big prize of the evening. He won the Youth Slam Finals. There is now a Youth Slam team, and he got the highest score of the entire eight poets who had been the highest scoring of the season. So here is Francis Arevalo. I consider this piece to be called Imagination.
And nobody thinks I'm cool. So I'll play some Grand Theft Childhood video games, a buy chain that hangs so low that it tangles with my toes. My clothes will be as baggy as my insomniac eyes. I'll lean so far that I'll be stuck sideways. I'll get so high that the sky resides beneath my eyes. And Jack's Beanstalk has nothing on me. So I smoke it. And I'm so cool. I've got the mentality of first-person shooter video games. They make my mind drunk. I think I took too many headshots. I'm accompanied by, we will rock you. I think super speed, I flash past like anime energy blast, and I'm armed with daydreams as well, and insomniac bags for gathering intel. So I leave to my jealous green unclean lab with my garbage bag, lab coat, and Hello Kitty notepad. I've got cans of synthetic storms and dust blowing gusts from electric fans. My past creation is floating dyed hydrogen oxide or distilled H2O because tap water isn't cool enough. So I dust off the tools and choose to use to fuse with the cool heavy metal music fuels the maniacal mood. I simmer and reduce the juice of the butte from the food that I took from you. And I pour into the hole of a cold concrete mold, and I know I gotta give him a soul, so I give it my own. Top it off with some vicious, malicious loving. Put him into the oven. I watch him rise. I smile and I cry. It's been a while since I've been satisfied, feeling electrified. My lab is more bolts than Frankenstein, and this is Frankenstein's worst nightmare. And I watch him walk off, and I miss him as he walks into the distance. He's got the most courageous balls that I've ever known, so I jump into his cockpit. And plainly, we're going on a planned rampage. I mean, we're so bad we can teach Crook Ed. That's damn straight. I vandalize writer's block. I highlight the top full of fun hopscotch squares on the sidewalk with permanent chalk, yeah. I'll stroll around reckless. My actions will never be doubted. I'd say, hey, I'm young and I'm restless, but what'll you do about it? I've got a million thoughts in one mind. I'll write them on one line just so it breaks. And my minions touch the ground, running around, jumping up and down, shouting, you can't stop me now. We'll impress you, leaving indentations on your brain, leaving room for paragraphs to paraphrase for those who didn't want to listen to what I had to say. So I stand in an open field. I wield a pen as my sword and creativity as my shield. And I explode. I make volcanoes into whispers. But there's a leg here, a tooth there, and even old men daydream. So this poem has no end. It's just someone else's turn now. Thank you. Wow.
That was Francis Arevalo. Coming up next, as promised, Chris Gilpin's the poem in question for the CBC Poetry Face-Off. Chris is not a youth, I should mention, but he is one of the most creative people I know, so here's his poem about a dodo bird.
This one's called The Dodo Bird Lives. Consider the dim-dim bird, the dumb-dumb bird. Consider the dodo bird. Was it doomed from the start? A misfit, a misstep, an evolutionary fart? When the Malay sailors, the Dutch sailors, the Portuguese sailors stepped out onto the beach, and this creature with the head of a flamingo and the body of a mammoth chicken came stomping out of the forest, puny wings, flailing eyes, ablaze with curiosity. It was promptly killed, eaten, and cursed for being made of such tough, sinewy meat. You see, the awkward mystic of Mauritius was anything but delicious. Not that we'll have a chance to taste it. No, we'll never get that chance to baste it, to force down one gristle-filled bite of dodo bird and then forget about the rest and waste it. No, it's as dead as a dodo. Gone the way of the dodo. And yet, we never say as afraid as a dodo, because Mauritius had no tigers, no cougars, no wolves, no megafauna at all. And so, the dodo bird came running every time the sailors called. Look closer at the dud-dud bird, the dead-dead bird. Look closer at the dodo bird and its strangely shaped heart. A zeppelin, an airship, a blimp falling apart. Oh, the hugeness, oh, the humanity, oh, the hubris. Remember the da-da bird, the die-die bird. Remember the bird that bird. Remember the Hindenburg? Was it doomed from the start? A mistake? A miscarriage? Was it surrealist art? A ship, a sausage balloon, 3 football fields long. The ship of dreams, the Titanic of the sky. The dodo bird dreams of F-16s, and deep in its Hindenburg heart, a sailor hands a child Chernobyl ice cream as the girders of cloud life are wrenched apart. But don't buckle on your blinders. The dodo bird lives. Every time a dandelion pushes up through the pavement of a NASCAR track, it lives. Every time a virgin turns 30, and every time a porn star gets lockjaw, the Hindenburg soars. Every time a tinfoil helium balloon escapes the grip of a six-year-old, it soars. Every time someone goes cruising in a Chevy El Camino, and every time a billionaire explorer fires up his hot air ego, yes, this one's for the dodo bird, the Hindenburg, all the extinct words, for the oops of the world, those misshapen pearls, whose trajectories twisted the lens of the sky, helped the moon regain its mojo, and left it more pockmarked at the same time. Thanks.
Chris Gilpin. Now, every week on the show, I like to bring in a different published Canadian poet and talk a little bit about their work. And the poet that I've chosen to read for you today is Peter Van Toorn. He is one of the selected poets from David Solway's short anthology, Four Montreal Poets, that he put together in 1973, which was a time when English Montreal poets were not getting a lot of exposure. They were just kind of writing alone in their basements, trying to keep their electricity on. I feel an affinity with David Solway in this sense because for me, this radio show is also in many ways sort of exactly the same thing. I wanted to bring some of the amazing spoken word and writing that Canadians are producing out there some exposure so they can get out of their dark, cold basements and, you know, get some fans and just, you know, get people listening to poetry and all that. So Peter Van Toorn was born in Holland in 1944, and then he moved to Montreal where he attended McGill University, which I also attended, so we have a lot in common. So I'm going to be reading an excerpt from his long poem, In Guildenstern Country, from David Solway's Four Montreal Poets. 1. Wawa, slipped beat. In Guildenstern County, where there's hardly any wind to go by, you can smell the poem in a thing for miles when wind wins. Winds, hands down, right out of nowhere, given good grass out front, bad brush behind. Even so, not counting wind in the pines, wind in the brake slams, there's hardly any to go by. Go by, put arms around, smoke on, ride off, get up. Bounce on a blanket about, just miles and miles to crash and keep crashing through. Given, go, guts, reach, even say so, wind puts awk eyes all around you, call it wawa. 2. Awk and verb. Wawa, sound of wind, good grass out front, bad brush behind. Try feeling at home and the loon reminds you. Smack in the gut, boat miles off of traveling way out alone. Wawa, ice fisher, jab jab, pine all around. Hunky dory, try and beat it, rock it, wawa. Awk eyes unload you, yank you out, rip all the winterizing right off, rock you into blackouts from your headlights to your spine. Wawa, back up, gun it blue and it thumbs you into bad bush, keeps you dialing zero, rolls a tongue of frozen ground out, wawa, good grass out front, bad brush behind. 3. Push-pull. Say wawa sleds your knees on staggered track, drives them down like plows, give it push-pull, give it pride, blush on like a tube, right off wawa slaps a skin on you, butterflied egg spit, cobweb, gum saw grass, shake and bake, flips you up on pingo, just to mash your knuckles, rush them like wind-blown spuds, wawa, the moguls scramble, screens of beaver teeth, fire on the windshield, wawa, drops down the cougar's light, visits your laugh off, hums on your jaw like a jam sandwich crammed with a pound of bees. Wawa, wasps, tar, ropes you in, scabs you, gives you bark back. Wawa, the way people grow, the way the wind leans them, blows them like a blues harp. Wawa, the way people grow one way, pulling in another both ways, the way the wind leans them. Wawa, loading and unloading, a way of growing. Better give it power. So that was just a couple of the poems from Peter Van Toorn's long poem In Guildenstern County. I like this poetry because I think it doesn't really matter what it's about. He's just kind of having some fun with the words themselves and the way the words sound together, and I guess imitating what he understands as the wind in that way. In Guildenstern County, I guess, is this kind of wild thing that has a power of its own. So I hope you enjoyed that. I hope you enjoyed the whole show. If you have any comments, questions, love letters, please do send them to audiotextcitr@gmail.com. And if you ever want to podcast the show and listen to some of the archives, you can always do that at citr.ca or my website, jcpeters.ca. Thanks so much for listening. Sam Squanch's Hideaway is coming up next.
Rags are in the hole, and our bruises toes, but you were running through fields of hitchhikers as the story goes.
There's no twilight galaxy.